I've been enjoying studying out at West Coast Baptist College, but the longer I'm away from this church, the more and more thankful I become for this church, and super thankful for that God's allowed me to be a member of First Baptist Church. Again, super happy, excited for the opportunity to preach tonight. I want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity. The book of Jude tonight, we're going to begin reading in verse 3. Here in verse 3, Jude is giving the groundwork, laying the foundation, giving the reason for writing this entire book that he did. The book of Jude, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So here we see Jude is writing to these believers, telling them, hey, God wants you to earnestly contend for the faith. In verse number 4, he gives a better demonstration of why that's needed, why this contending for the faith is needed. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So in that day, there were what I would call in this passage deceivers who had snuck into the church, who would sneak into the church and try to cause division and strife and try to cause hurt to the church. And Jude is saying, hey, we need Christians to step up and contend for the faith. Just like in Jude's day, this is still an issue we face in ours of for the majority of this book, verse 4 down to verse 16, Jude is speaking of these deceivers, of these people who come into the church, as it says in try to cause that hurt. And just like in Jude's day, we need Christians today who are going to stand up and contend for the faith. We can think of many different scenarios where church members have come into a church and caused division and caused church splits. And now I want to say this to begin. I'm not at all saying I think this is going on in our church. I do not believe this is going on in the church. Again, I'm super thankful to be in this church. But if we're not careful, we can fall into some of these issues that this book talks about for those that come in there. So Jude spends most of the book talking about these deceivers. But if you go down to verse number 17, he finally gets to the point where he exhorts the believers and how we as believers can earnestly contend for the faith. The book of Jude, verse number 17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." When we read these few verses, I believe we can find three things in here that we as Christians can use in our lives so that we can earnestly contend for the faith, which is vitally needed in today's day and age. So the first thing we see is we must, if we're going to contend for the faith, we need to remember the warning. Look in verse 17, it says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." What they're referring to here is how it says there will be mockers in the last day. It's referring back to these last few verses, how Judas talked this entire book about those who are coming in and wanting to cause harm. And if you study these, there's two verses that jump out to me. I don't have time to jump into all of these verses where Jude's talking about this, but there's two verses in particular that kind of highlight some of the characteristics of these deceivers, as I would call them. Verse number 8, it says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." And then in verse number 16, it says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person and admiration because of advantage." I think there's three characteristics we can see of these deceivers. First is they're lustful. They're falling after their own lust. It says in verse number 16, walking after their own lust. These are people that are not looking for what God wants them to do, not trying to follow God. They're following their own desires, their own fleshly lust. Two, we see they're rebellious. In verse number 8, it says, they despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. There's an aspect of rebellion there, speaking evil of authority, speaking evil of those above them. And we see in verse number 16, there's an ungratefulness to them as well. These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lust. So they want to do what they want to do. There's a rebelliousness to them. And not only that, it causes them to be ungrateful. And they're going to tell everybody about it. They're going to be complainers and murmurers. Now, again, like I said before, I don't believe this is something that's going on in our church. Do not get me wrong. But if we're going to contend for the faith, we need to be aware of these things and be watching for this. And not only that, we need to make sure these things are not creeping into our own life. We need to make sure these three things are not creeping into our own lives and that we're falling into these same sins. Obviously, we all struggle. We all fail. But if we're constantly if we're finding ourselves often in a state of rebellion or ungratefulness, it's not going to help us be able to contend for the faith like the Bible wants us to. So if we're going to contend for the faith, we need to remember the warning that this book gives us. Secondly, not only do we need to remember the warning, but secondly, we need to keep ourselves right. Look in verse number 20. It says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So it says, keep yourself, and the command here is to keep yourselves in the love of God. This word keep, the Greek word for it, has the meaning of the word to guard, right? You're to guard yourself in the love of God. Again, if you do the study, when it's talking about the love of God, it's not talking about salvation. We're not trying to keep ourselves in salvation. It wasn't us that earned our salvation. It's not us that's going to keep ourselves saved. This is more referring to like a fellowship, like we're keeping ourselves in fellowship with God. If we're going to be able to contend for the faith, we have to be keeping ourselves in fellowship. And I think in verse 20, you can see two specific things that help us with that as well. Verse number 20, it says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." The first thing we need to be doing is if we're going to keep ourselves right, we need to be building upon our faith. Christ is our foundation, but Christ doesn't want us to just stop at getting saved. Christ wants us to continue building upon our faith. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Long list of things that we see there. Again, I don't have time to go into each one of them. That's a message that'll preach on its own. A few messages, actually. But the Bible's very clear. God doesn't want us to just stop at salvation. He wants us to grow. He wants us to build upon our faith. And one way we do that is the next thing we see in verse 20. It says, "Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." If we're going to be keeping ourselves right, we got to be spending time in prayer. We have to be praying in the Holy Ghost. This is pretty self-explanatory. If we're going to be in fellowship with God, if we're going to be having the right fellowship with God, we've got to be talking to Him. We've got to be spending that time in prayer. Notice it says here, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's easy for us to pray for what we want, to pray for what we think is good, but when are we praying for what the Lord wants? We're going to get to that in just a second on our third point, a little bit. But are we praying for the Lord's will? Are we praying for what God says? The Lord said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Is that the kind of stuff we're praying for? Again, it's not wrong to pray for the things that we the desires that we have at times, but we should make sure we're also praying in the will of God. And that's what's going to be vitally important if we're going to keep ourselves right. And as it says here, keep ourselves in the love of God. So thirdly, not only do you see that we're supposed to remember the warning, not only are we supposed to keep ourselves right, but thirdly, we need to move forward. Moving forward, look in verse number 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." What I see here in these verses is a moving forward. So he's talked about remember the warning, remember those who would try to pull you away from the faith, which would try to hurt you. And secondly, obviously, remember to keep yourself in the love of God, keep yourself right in fellowship with God. But then thirdly, there's the moving forward. I see a desire here to reach others for Christ. Some having compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I think there's two things we can see here when it comes to that. Two things we're going to need if we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, as it's talking about here. Firstly, letter A is we're going to need to have compassion, as it's talking about in verse 22, and of some have compassion making a difference. You know, if we're going to move forward for the gospel, we're going to need to have compassion in our lives. And when it comes to moving forward, I probably should have said this earlier, but oftentimes as Christians, we've talked about the other two things. As Christians, we're oftentimes good at playing defense, right? We're watching out for sin. We're doing our best not to sin, and we're trying to have the right relationship with God. But oftentimes we don't take things and move forward. We don't do what Christ commanded on that front. Christ's last command was, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And oftentimes we neglect the going forward and reaching others with the gospel. And that's what it's talking about here with having compassion. When was the last time compassion moved you to tell someone about Christ? Jesus is a great example of this. The Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. You know, at that time, Jesus was taking some time alone with his disciples. And when he saw the multitudes, it was moved him. He could have made every excuse. He had spent a lot of time preaching and all that kind of stuff. Jesus could have made every excuse to not do it. But yet he saw the multitudes, he was moved, and it led him to share the gospel with them. You see, oftentimes, TJ gave the example on Sunday. Again, I don't want to judge TJ at all. Don't get me wrong. But he gave the illustration of, there was a group of guys, he really didn't want to talk to them and all that kind of stuff when he was out witnessing. And I can't blame him at all, because I've had the exact same situation happen myself. And I'm sure all of us have, where the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, "Hey, I want you to go witness that person." You look at it and they're like, "I don't know if I want to go talk to that person or not." But as Christians, we need to have that compassion for the lost to say, "Hey, if I don't tell that person about Christ, they could die and spend an eternity and separated from God, spend eternity in hell." But not only and compassion is what drives us to do the second thing, as it talks about in verse 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." It leads us to give the warning. Hey, there is a heaven, but there is also a hell. There is a place where if we do not accept Christ as our Savior, if someone does not get saved, they do spend eternity away from God in a place called hell, with eternally separated from God and eternal torture. That should motivate us as Christians to go tell others about Christ, to have compassion for the lost. When was the last time you witnessed to someone? I'm not just talking about when was the last time you invited somebody to church, which, don't get me wrong, that's good too. And there are times when that can be the best thing for a situation. But when was the last time that you personally shared the gospel with someone? Is that something that's a regular habit of yours, to go out and tell people about Christ, to actually witness to people? As Christians, if we're going to contend for the faith, not only can we be on the defensive side, which is good, we need to be keeping ourselves right and being aware of the enemy, but we also have to be moving forward and reaching others with the gospel. So in conclusion, in today's day, we need Christians. And in this new year upcoming, we need Christians who are going to step up and be willing to contend for the faith. Have you been contending for the faith in your life? Maybe you're in here today and a lot of this seems kind of new. Maybe you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you were to die today, if you'd be on your way to heaven. My friend, if that's the case, you can't contend for the faith because you're not in the faith. And if there's anyone in here today who has not trusted Christ as their Savior, I beg you and implore you to do that tonight. There's no better decision you can make in your life than to accept Christ as your Savior. And you can start off the new year walking with the Lord, and that would be the greatest thing ever. But for us as Christians in here, I'd assume on a Wednesday night, most of us in here are Christians. For those of us who are Christians, let's make a decision for this new year that we're going to contend for the faith. Maybe we need to be aware of some issues in our own life. Maybe the one that stood out to me here was ungratefulness. Maybe we've been ungrateful in some ways, or maybe we've not been keeping ourselves quite right the way we need to. And maybe we haven't been witnessing the way we should. Maybe we haven't had that compassion and been reaching out to reach others. Ask God to help you this year to contend for the faith as he would have us to do. Thank you.